With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock today, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And I knew you guys were out there. Lines are all jammed up, so we'll get right to your calls. And we do thank you so much for calling us on this Saturday morning. And again, if you have any e-waste to get rid of, electronic waste like old TVs, anything electronic you want to get rid of, head over to Southington. They're doing a free e-waste collection, and they're hoping to support middle school sports. You probably saw that on the news. Where in Southington, we're having to raise our own money to keep middle school sports. And the parents are out there working their hardest to do so. And if you want a way to get rid of your e-waste and support a cause at the same time, win-win. Let's go out to Mike in Coventry next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I love the show. Listen every week.
Thanks.
I got to give you some background on this one here. I have a Dell Precision 670 workstation. That was throwing a code for power supply. So I replaced the power supply and nothing changed. So when I was removing the new one, I took the fans out, and behind the fans I noticed I had two burst capacitors.
Wow.
So I'm assuming that's the cause of my power problems.
Yep.
In the meantime, I took the original boot drive out, and mm-hmm. a friend of mine had said, try to boot it in another computer so I can get my data off.
No.
That did not work.
Yeah, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not in the computer world, is he?
No, I think he's an IT guy. But
he is?
Yeah.
What?
You could do that back in the Windows 95 days,
yeah.
But not today.
What is he? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
So anyway, that obviously didn't work.
No.
I have a USB external backup drive. That also failed at the same time.
Wow, you got bad luck here, Mike.
Yeah, I certainly do. So I was just wondering if you guys had any suggestions outside of having someone replace the two burst caps. Is there another way I can possibly access the data on
my own
boot drive?
So the thing he screwed up on was telling you to boot off of that drive.
Okay.
You're not going to ever boot off of it because it wants to be in that machine.
Yeah.
So what you're going to do is attach it as a USB drive externally. And there are enclosures we've recommended. There are adapters. We even talked about this, I think, last week.
Right.
Where you can just go out and buy some adapters. You plug in this SATA adapter that then turns into USB. It'll power the drive, and then you can go ahead and browse right over to the drive and get your data.
Okay.
So that shouldn't be a big deal. The external drive, though, you said that's damaged too?
Yeah, and it's a Western Digital. When I looked it up online, it says that you pretty much have to send it to a data recovery center.
And that was your quote-unquote backup?
That was my backup.
Okay, so let's assume, though, you can still get your data off your primary.
Okay.
Because I would bet you can. What he screwed you up with is that booting. You can't boot up off of it the way you're thinking, unless you find an identical machine. Then it would probably boot.
Okay.
But you just want to connect it to any other computer, any at all, and it'll show up as an external drive, browse to your data, copy it from that drive to the local machine, then make another copy to some other external drive you've purchased as well, so now you have a backup. Do you follow?
Yeah, and actually, since you say that, the first thing that I did when that computer went down was I took my boot drive out of that, put it into another computer as a slave or a secondary, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it recognized the drive, and it would go in, and I could see that there was data in a certain folder, but there were no icons or anything. I couldn't actually see it to access it. It appears to be encrypted somehow.
What kind of data are you trying to get here, Mike?
It's mostly music files. It was a recording
computer
for recording music.
Yeah. Well, if it's encrypted, that's a whole other issue. With the odds of you having a burst capacitor, fail power supply, fail backup, and then encryption. I mean, you'd be the unluckiest IT computer user on the planet.
I hope not.
Yeah. So what you're trying to do is put it in the machine like that as a drive, as a slave, is probably causing your trouble there too.
Okay.
I think that the reason why it wouldn't give it an icon and he couldn't recognize it is that music data was probably created by some program, a specific program.
It's MP3 though, right, Mike?
Or it's not showing my program files or my MP3s, nothing. I can't, no pictures, no, all I can see is...
So you want to go in to under folder options and make sure that it's checked off to show hidden files.
Yeah, I tried that too.
All right. Well, again, this is putting it in as an IDE drive physically inside the machine, not using a USB connection like we're talking about, correct?
Right.
Again, I have to hope that this drive is not damaged, right? It couldn't be damaged. You didn't drop it or anything while you were doing your stuff, did you?
No. It's just what happened was the computer just shut off one day.
Yeah.
And that's when it started giving me the error code.
Right. When you put it in the other machine and tried to boot it, it might have damaged.
No, let's not give him that.
Yeah, well,
if it did, you got to go ahead to that guy who told you to do that. And, you know.
But I think you can still get your data.
I think you can too. So try it just as a USB interface.
Okay.
Most likely you're having trouble trying to connect it to the controller and put in the proper drive geometry, and it's not reading the drive size properly. How old is the machine you're trying to put it into?
Oh, it's I bought this at the old at Pratt & Whitney, the old store they used to have over
there. That's the one you're trying to stick this drive into?
No, that's the one that failed.
Oh, okay. So it's an old drive, small drive,
yeah.
and you're trying to put it into a newer computer. That should be a little better than the opposite. Just try the USB trick, and if that doesn't work, you will have to try OnTrack or something like that for data recovery.
Okay, so you said there's an adapter you have to get?
Well, you can. Yeah, so basically you're going to turn it into an external USB hard drive.
Yep.
And we have docs that we linked last week. We can relink them for you if you want to see them. But if you look at our page, you'll see them in our archive links, some options for you as far as docs. Now, is this running an IDE hard drive? Because it's one of those old Pratt & Whitney's. Is it one of those many ribbon pin, like a big gray ribbon?
No, it's a SATA.
It is SATA, okay.
The computer he's talking about, if it's as old as I think it is,
yeah.
Dell had a problem with a bunch of those. And back years ago, you used to be able to talk to Dell, and they could send you out a kit so that you could replace those capacitors that burned up.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago.
I wouldn't count on doing that today. And there aren't very many people that can actually do that because you have to unsolder them and solder them back into the motherboard.
Yeah, forget it. And you didn't encrypt this drive, right, Mike?
No, I didn't do it myself, no.
But you don't even know if it was encrypted, do you?
No, not that I know of.
That'd be the worst thing here is that you're ignorantly running the machine encrypted and not knowing it, which could happen when you buy, you know, used technology, right?
Now, would it make sense that or have anything to do with if the music files were stored in the My Documents folder?
No.
That won't matter?
Okay. You should be able to browse to that folder if you stick it on there as a external drive and get your files off of it. So the encrypted piece is the only question mark is if that system was encrypted, but I doubt it was. It's an old box, right?
Yeah.
Running Windows 7?
No, it's XP.
What?
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
Yeah,
all right, now we're starting to get to the point where you kind of deserve to lose this data, right? Gosh.
Well, it was working fine because I didn't even really connect on to it online except to update some of my recordings.
If I had a nickel for everybody that said it was working fine, then all of a sudden I'd be driving a better car. I'd be driving a Tesla. Just kidding. I can't afford those things. So, yeah, try to connect it up the way we talked about it, Mike, and you should be able to see it fine.
Okay, that's what I'm going to try, guys.
All right, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Yep. XP, man. We got to pronounce that thing dead.
I got a feeling it's not going to die for a while.
Oh, my goodness. It's probably like still 6% of the market out there with it. Let's go on to Joe in Windsor. Hey, Joe. What's up?
How you doing, guys?
Fine. How are you?
All right, until now.
Uh-oh.
I have a Samsung Galaxy S5, and I've been using the 1080 NewsTalk app
for
quite a while.
Great.
For Red Sox news, and especially your show.
Oh, great. We like to hear that.
Well, I used the latest update a couple days ago, and the app disappeared.
All right. You should be able to just go back out to the App Store and download it again.
It's not there. I went to Play Store, and I searched every different direction, all different things. I get 5 different apps, and none of them will let me get TIC.
Hmm.
And I can't find it. I've got it on my computer, my desktop, but I can't carry that around all the time.
Well, it wasn't specifically a WTIC. I think it was iRadio or radio something. I can't think of what the app was called. It isn't called WTIC specifically. It's a specific CBS.
iHeartRadio?
Yeah, was it iHeartRadio or something like that? I don't remember what you, because it didn't have a WTIC logo on it, did it?
If it's the same one, it's on my computer. It's exactly that.
Interesting.
Let me open up my computer right now. I'm looking at it. No sound. Get the sound.
Like radio.com or something like that?
This is TIC News Talk 1080. And at the top, it says, you know, the HTTP. It's tunein.com radio.
There it is.
TIC.
So tunein.com. So you're using some sort of app called TuneIn.
Okay.
To listen to us. So you're streaming us through an app called TuneIn.
Right.
And that might be the issue here, is that app might have gone away and you need a different app for streaming. Now,
yeah, I went to the Play Store and they gave me 5 or 7. One is Croatia Radio, and there's a whole bunch of I don't know that language.
I hear you. So here's what's happening here is you're actually tuning in the broadcast rather than streaming the broadcast. So there are two different things there. You're listening to the radio still in a stream fashion, but as it was broadcast rather than as it was meant to be streamed to you. So let me try to find the proper streaming methodology that TIC would prefer you use. I bet you if we go to WTIC's website, we'll find that for you.
They have links. My wife listens to the show on her computer every week, and it's usually delayed by about a minute or two.
It'll be delayed, yeah.
I've got it on right now.
Yeah, so most likely there's a good app for you, Joe. We'll put a link up there for you so that considering that we are doing the show, we don't have a reason to listen to ourselves. So I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Well, on a slow day, at least someone will be there.
It's true.
Okay.
So I'll put a link up there for you, Joe.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sometimes what happens on these app stores, whether they're Apple or Android, they decide to clear them off because of some sort of vulnerability or some sort of malicious content that they're delivering. So, you know, he could have found a quote-unquote tune-in app or something like that that was not necessarily kosher, and the Play Store would get rid of it. So we want to find a more vetted or recommended methodology to listen to WTIC through an app. And I'm sure there is out there. I just don't have it off the top of my head. Let's go take a quick break here, Matt. And Ed and Bill, hang on. This is Computer Talk. Two lines open for you. We're here till 11. We'll be right back. Yes, Pat Benatar is in Durham. And we and Matt's playing the hits. And we appreciate that. So a quick update on the last caller. We did check. TuneIn is still an app on the Android store. So I don't know what's up with your individual phone or device, unless maybe it's less compatible with your version of Android. That could be the case. Maybe they did something to change it. But we'll put that link up there for you so you can go ahead and download it again, even right from TuneIn. Usually more advised to go through the store. But unfortunately, the iOSs of Android devices are all different flavors, and sometimes the apps upgrade and they're only compatible with newer versions of the Android operating system. And that's true also for Apple, by the way. Apple had a release of their iOS 11, and Office 365 didn't work anymore, and anything running Exchange 2016 didn't work anymore for mail. You had to use a new mail client, and that was pretty upsetting for Apple users when they upgraded to the latest and greatest shiny new iOS 11. Let's go to Bill in Windsor next. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I have a question basically regarding emails. I'm using Mac Mail. I have a Comcast email address. And for the most part, I am experiencing no problems.
All right.
I didn't receive PDFs. I think PDFs are sent to me. There's a situation where a company that I do work for has sent an email with a PDF attachment to a major U.S. corporation. The primary contacts receiving the email, as well as the two secondary CC individuals. I was enlisted as the last CC with my Comcast email.
Yeah.
And I never received my emails on those, but the other individuals did. In perhaps a similar situation, an individual with a different company was on vacation, so he logged into his company's work email from home and sent me an email, and those emails never got received either.
So
I'm trying to determine, is this a problem with the Comcast at my end? Is this a time problem with this person sending it?
Right.
Or is there any easy way I can kind of troubleshoot the where the problem lies?
Well, welcome to our world, Bill. To tell you, so basically, logically speaking, if the other folks received the email and you didn't, it's not them, it's you, right? So you can just use that logic that the fact that the email was sent and it went to two others, it didn't go to you. Now, the sender may have received something called a bounce back.
Did not.
So then again, they were not made aware that the email never got to you, which is a little bit of a problem. That can occur if you have spam settings that for some reason looked at this message that was sent as spam.
Okay.
Because bounce backs are something you don't typically set for spam. You don't want the spammer to know that you are there. You just let their mail go into a black hole.
Right.
So I would think it's your problem on this particular email issue for whatever reason. It could be a spam setting with Comcast that you have your spam settings a little too high. And they're seeing these emails, attachments as at risk, or they're sending you something. Go ahead.
It seemed to only occur. I get emails from this company all the time with PDF attachments. It seemed to only occur when I'm being copied, when it's going to another company, and I'm being copied as a CC in the CC email.
Right. Again, it's still
the primary company receive it. I don't.
Yeah, it's still you though, because you're the one not receiving it, and they're not getting a bounce back.
Okay.
If the other folks are still receiving it, it's being sent, right? So it's not like the last piece of this, Bill, they're not getting a bounce back. They've got your email address typed in incorrectly.
Yeah, we resolved that issue. We did the logical thing.
Yeah, I think it might be something with your spam setting. That's really all you can deal with. I can think of, or set up a different account, set up a test account, like a free Gmail account, and have them send to that just as a test if you want to see it's them in some way.
Okay.
But I bet you it's you on your Comcast account, something.
Same situation for the person that sent from a home server to his work email and sent the quotation from there.
You'd be the CC again?
No, I was the primary. He was on vacation, so he logged into his company email address and sent from there to me. Instead of what probably would have been logical is just send it to me in the first place and not going to his company.
Right. But he got no bounce back and you never received the message, right?
That's correct in that situation.
Yeah. So again, it must be something in your settings for spam, or maybe you're full. I mean, my Cox mailbox recently filled up pretty big to the point where it was blocking certain emails from coming until I cleaned it out. So it could be something like a space issue. The attachment's just a little too big, tipping something over on your account. That does occur as well.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a situation where the primary contact was at a major company. There's two other individuals who are at the same company, and my email was different.
It does not matter. No, that would not be the... If your email address is spelled properly and they didn't get a bounce back, then there's something wrong with your mailbox.
Okay.
Or it got to your mailbox, or it was blocked as spam for some reason because of what you've set as your thresholds.
Okay. I think your set is really liberal, but I'm going to have to check.
Take a peek. All right. I got
to
go.
Hey,
Bill, can you hold over because I have to go to the news?
Yes.
All right. Hang on one sec. We're going to go off to the news, and Ed, Dill, and Jan, as well as Bill, will be right back.
We're gaining on them.
I wasted on cross-country. We dwarves are natural sprinters. Very dangerous over short distances.
There we go, Matt. We knew you could find the video. That was in honor of Tesla winning the quarter mile drag race against all those.
Dangerous in short distances.
Short distances. I mean, they would have had to push it back to the beginning of the start line after it expended its ludicrous speed, and the Porsche would have just, you know.
And just watch out for white trucks.
Yes, be careful with white trucks. All right, let's move on to Ed in North Haven. Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. Bill, I'll get right to you in a second. Ed, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Number one, I've been using Mozilla Firefox and Yahoo.
Yep.
And I've got a lot of junk in my cache.
Yes, you do.
Wondering if you would post the necessary routine to clear that out.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah. Number two, there was a gentleman on before my call.
Yeah.
And he was having a problem and so forth retrieving some information when his computer failed.
Yes.
And I've got an old XP, and I've got a similar situation where I went to turn it on.
And it's dead, right?
Yeah. I think that the software package is probably corrupt at this point.
Mm-hmm.
No, I've been taking and listening to you over the years, and yeah. I've been taking and using flash drives, and I've been recovering letters and so forth. But what I'd like to do is to have you post that particular little
gadget
instrument that you use to plug in and so forth.
Yeah.
I'd like to go in there and verify that I pulled everything off.
Of course.
And that would be great if you could post that also.
Probably already done, Ed. We'll do that for you right away.
Boy, you guys are fast.
All right.
Hey, it's a great show. Thanks very much for your help. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. We'll get back to Bill, who I promised I'd get back to after the break. Sorry, Bill.
No problem. My last question was, this is regarding with the Comcast email.
Yep.
For business purposes, would it be better for me to set up my own email through my own domain and not use Comcast at all, as opposed to using a Comcast email?
Well, it depends, right? You're always going to be Bill at Comcast until Comcast is purchased by Pillsbury, and then you'll be Bill at Pillsbury. And okay. Maybe that's not something you want to be connected to. Right now, you're Bill at Comcast. So if you were Bill at whatever your company name is, if you bought your domain, that would never change as long as you keep paying for the rights to your domain, your new domain. You'd still would use Comcast's boxes to house your messages because you don't want to pay somebody else. You could do that too, but they're all problems everywhere. If you pay for any third party email, you're still going to have issues. May as well deal with the devil that's paying. It's giving you your internet as well, I would contend.
Yeah, true.
But if you want to be at something else, you have to buy your own domain, and then Comcast should be able to allow that for you to happen, where you can actually have your email sent to Bill at whatever your company name is.
I do have something set up like that, but I've never used it for business purposes yet. For the primary reason, it's going to require me to get X number of people to change emails
right. Into
a new email. And
I can tell you,
they send out all their own notices, but probably 2% would respond.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, your problem is so minor, and this problem can move to the other mailbox as well, that to make a change like that just for this is not necessarily the way I would tell you to go. I'd tell you to try to figure out why that email is not working. Maybe clean out your box, change your spam settings.
Okay, I'll check into that. Thank you. Thanks for your help today. I appreciate it. Enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, moving on to Dill in East Windsor. Hey, Dill.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, I got Malwarebytes and Security Essentials.
Yep.
I run Malwarebytes every day, Security Essentials every day or so,
mm-hmm.
and they never catch anything. I don't understand. Are they not working?
Are you not going anywhere?
I'm on the internet a lot.
Do you have OpenDNS running as well?
What is that?
OpenDNS is a secure way to be on the internet.
No.
So you should consider that. But you're wondering why those two tools are not finding any viruses, correct?
Correct.
And you feel that you should be just riddled with viruses on a regular basis.
Well, doesn't that happen?
Not if you have the security tools in place that we told you about. So if you run OpenDNS and basic antivirus like you're running, you're not going to get hit with viruses. You shouldn't have to constantly see viruses on your system. It shouldn't be a norm that your machine is sick all the time.
Okay, but it's not even indicated anywhere that they found anything.
Well, there's an indication that they ran, correct? They've run and they're up.
Oh, yes.
That's what you, that's the indication you want. That's exactly what you're hoping for.
Okay. So OpenDNS, you think I should have on there?
Yeah, it's not really something you have on. It's something you configure. So if you want to even make your antivirus work less hard, use OpenDNS as well. And it's a completely normal thing to not find anything. That's exactly what you want. Unless you think you're going to such nasty places on the internet that you should be infected.
No,
I'm not. You have a guilty conscience?
No, it really it really bothers me because I do a lot of my work on it and I pay bills on it and all that.
Making you nervous. You can't possibly be clean, right? You can't possibly have a clean computer. You do. Well, I guess I would tell you, rest assured, generally, that you're fine.
Well, I thank you so much. You made me feel a whole lot better.
You're welcome.
You made my day.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's okay. I'll tell you right now, I think I told you the story, with the protections we have in place that we recommend, OpenDNS and just the built-in Windows Defender, on 5 computers in my home, myself, my wife, and 3 boys. We've only been hit with malware once, when I lowered the defenses and let my kid search Japanese baseball players.
Yeah, but that had a cause and effect, if you will. Yeah.
Otherwise, when we run a scan, guess how many viruses pop up?
See, that was caused...
Zero.
That was caused by a glass of Merlot.
It was. I've switched to Cab. Actually, it's called Carbonet? It's out of a
Cabernet?
Box. Cabernet? Carbonet. Okay. Mine comes out of a box. I can't afford it.
Oh, cardboard.
Cardboard. All right. Well, Matt wants me to take a break. All right, so we'll step out for a quick break, get to Mark, Jan, and Gene. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. And, of course, if you've got e-waste, that just sounds nasty. If you get any kind of old computer technology waste, TVs, junk you want to get rid of for free, head over to Southington. They're doing a collection until 3 o'clock today right at the high school, right there in the center of the state of Connecticut. Perfect place to get rid of your junk. We'll be right back. This is for you, Dale. And for Durham and Pat Benatar. Get nervous. It's okay if your antivirus comes up clean. Don't get nervous. I don't remember this tune. You remember this tune, Matt? No.
I do.
It makes me all tense. So it's okay if your antivirus comes up clean. It doesn't mean you have to worry unless you're going places you don't think you should be going and you got a guilty conscience. But that's what antivirus. Just because you're clean doesn't mean you're not clean.
Durham Fair and listen to Pat Benatar, there's no reason to get nervous.
No reason to get nervous. Let's go on to Jan in New Britain. Hey, Jan.
Hey, who's this, Bob?
This is both of us.
Oh, okay. I'm a Vietnam era vet. I got ADHD. My hearing's not great. I'm technically inept, basically.
Well, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Okay, here's the deal. I went on Microsoft Edge last night, and I clicked on one of their interesting sidebar things, pictures, and all of a sudden I got the sirens going, the dire warning, I had to call this number right away.
And you didn't call it, right?
No, I did not call it. Good. I looked it up on my phone. I found out it was a scam phone. I couldn't shut off the browser, though.
Yeah, you had a little browser hijack going on there.
Yeah, I looked up, there's a community that deals with this, and they had some procedures to follow on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not follow the procedure. The browsers didn't come up in the task administrator. It didn't come up like the example.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not. I highlighted the Microsoft Edge in app history, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't follow the next step, which was end task. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I tried a system restore. I gave up after 20 minutes or so. You know, last time I did a system restore, I think they get done in like 5 minutes or right, something like that.
It can be quick, depending on how long it's been since you've done one.
It has been a while. But I only went back like 3 days.
That's kind of what I meant. It's how far back you, how much change has occurred between the last time you did it, up, and the last time you did it. So
it
now
take a real long time.
It could, but my question here for you is, every time you bring up the Edge browser, are you stuck at this hijack?
Yeah.
Okay.
It comes up, right? Yeah, I'm afraid to do anything, right? The screen I have right now is the system restore did not complete successfully,
mm-hmm.
computer system files, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
and try it again or close it. And I just want to leave it there and get some information from you guys.
Yeah.
You can speak like as though I'm a child because I have trouble following a lot of information.
No sweat.
After the hearing.
Yep.
So I would not be upset if you, you know.
No. No problem. We'll try to keep it as simple for everybody.
Okay.
You have some sort of browser hijack, meaning your browser is doing something you don't want it to do. Malwarebytes is a tool that might be something you want to run on your computer to see if it can detect anything.
Okay, spell that for me, please.
Malwarebytes. The easier option for you would be to go to our website. So
okay.
I'll spell that for you. Computer Talk with Tab.
Okay.
The name of the show. Talk.
I'm sorry, Computer Talk with Tab.
Yep, .com.
With Tab.com.
Okay. Go to the show. Go to the live links area. And we'll put a link up there for Malware.
What?
The live links area. It's right there.
Live
the links
area. Okay.
Yep. That'll show a list of links for the show today.
Okay.
And in there will be Malwarebytes. And
okay.
It's a software you want to download and run and see if it can clear up this issue for you.
Okay. So I just click on Malwarebytes.
And download it and run it.
Okay. And it's going to give me directions how to download it, right?
Yes, that should be there.
I don't know how to do any of those things.
Yeah.
I'm a writer. I just basically use, very minimal.
Is this a portable machine, Jan, or is
yeah,
this?
It's a laptop. It's
all
a
right.
Lenovo B570.
I just have a thought for you that you can, consider.
Okay, sure.
Are you part of the American Legion?
No.
Thinking if you wanted to bring it by that hall or even a senior center. With your laptop, I can tell you there's a lot of folks out there that would love to help you.
Oh.
If you brought it to a... If you brought it...
Car, so that would be a little bit of a problem.
Oh, it would be?
Yeah, I could do that sometime.
Yeah, there's a lot of great folks there that, would probably work with you and try to assist. Because if you haven't used computers much, and you don't have access to anybody that can give you a personal touch right there, that would be something you should consider. But you want to run Malwarebytes, and it should give you some instruction there. And then I'd consider also configuring OpenDNS, but that also might be a heavy lift if you're not much of a computer user.
I have heard of it, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I
yeah.
have somebody in my family that's a tech.
You do?
Tech geek, yeah.
Are they local?
Yeah, but there's not a good family relationship there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So,
yeah. I understand.
But I did hear him speak about that years ago.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a good tool.
How would I download that or upload that? Or
it's more of instructions, so you have to read about how to implement it in your network, and that would allow you to surf more safely and protect you from these things. So you don't really have to do too much to configure it, but you have to follow the instructions.
How would I get started on it?
Again, computertalkwithtab.com, the name of our show. Go to our live links, and they'll be right there for you.
And the OpenDNS thing will be there?
Oh, yeah. It's there a million times.
Okay. You're probably answering my next questions already, but are any I just heard you say that I need to I'm a writer and I need the computer basically for research.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the best, safest antivirus, anti-malware,
OpenDNS is the key, really. That's a safer way to search. So if you're doing any kind of research on any topic, if you're doing it naked on the internet, you're going to find yourself in all sorts of bad places. I mean, you can search naked while you're searching. That's up to you.
It wasn't even a bad site. It wasn't even a porn site. It was something. I don't even know. It was like an interesting thing. People do this or whatever. And it was on the Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
As soon as it came up. So
yeah.
I thought it was safe. But they.
No, nothing's safe. Assume everything is not safe. So if you have.
I am now.
If you have OpenDNS, you'll be a lot safer and you won't be surfing naked anymore.
And you said you had two things for your whole family.
Yeah, we use OpenDNS like I talked about, and we use the free Windows Defender antivirus on our computers, and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, and we use Malwarebytes if we ever get infected, of which we have not, except for that one time.
Okay, and what was the free Windows?
Windows Defender is built into your operating system already. It should probably already be running on.
So I should be able to access it, right?
It's probably already there.
Unless you have Windows 7. Then you went.
I have Windows 10.
So you've got it.
You've already got it, yeah.
So if I just close the system restore thing?
Close the system restore thing, go to our website, download Malwarebytes, run it, see if it takes care of this issue with Edge.
Right.
You may also want to consider not using Edge anymore and use Chrome.
Okay. Yeah, I think I got sucked in by their advertising.
I know.
Paper than everything else.
Yeah, Microsoft is like that. They suck you in.
Another thing you might want to try also is go to the control panel under Internet Options and go all the way over to the left side and click the Advanced tab. And down on the lower part, it'll say Reset, and it'll reset your browser settings to the factory original, and that might get rid of the settings that are bringing you back to the hijack every time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so go into control panel, and okay, if you figure out how to do that.
Okay.
Just type in control in the search.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah, we're coming up against a hard break.
All right, hey, thanks a lot, guys. You guys are great.
Well, thank you.
I don't understand a whole lot, but you guys are great.
No, and you are too, again. Thank you for your service, and good luck. And
we'll
if you have any, let us know if we need to help you again. We'll be here next Saturday.
I will.
All right, Jan. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. Stick around. Dr. Leslie will be up next with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. Everything's been posted, tweeted, and Facebooked for you by Mike G. Does it live.
See you next week.
And thanks, Matt, for producing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.